The MVPs that devices won, particularly in contrast to the MVPs won by, for example, Simple, the best player of the year, Nico, another hard carry individual star, his MVPs, quite frankly, are not equal to those MVPs by and large. And in most cases, I consider those MVPs more impressive and more indicative and telling of how incredible those individual players are and that they are the best player in the world on their day at that particular time, whatever it might be, depending on the competition. Because those players are, even in top teams, hard carrying. Like FaZe Clan and Na'Vi, without Simple and Nico, would be an absolute travesty. They'd be struggling to make top 10. Even FaZe Clan might be like a low top 10 team. You take Device out of Astralis, yeah, they won't be number one. They probably won't win any tournaments. But you put in a Config, you put in some of the other good players in terms of Device, you could still have a pretty fucking good team. You could maybe have like the fifth best team in the world. I think that's possible. I think that's outrageous, even though Device is the best player for their team. There's the difference. And there is the difference, I think, that shows up in how they win the MVPs. You think of when Simple was in Na'Vi before Electronic got his role fixed. Obviously, the best example being Star Series Season 4, the first Star Series of this year in February. He was the best player I think I've ever seen. And he didn't have any help on his team. And obviously, he won the MVP award despite coming second in that tournament.
Like, some of these guys are like Simple. Like, he's just reckless. Like we said,
yes.
And he still pulls it off. It's super impressive. I think that's like, I do wonder like how much of that is just the fact that people are just more talented today. Like many of the players are just like, they just have better hand-eye coordination than players back then. I think a portion has to be that, but at the same time, you know, like I don't know whether the variance in that has increased. Put another way, like if everybody's hand-eye coordination gets better identically, then it makes no difference, right? Because everybody's better. So actually what you need is for you to be an even bigger outlier today than you did 10 years ago to look similarly good, which is the more impressive part if you think about it that way.
Yeah, that's what makes Simple just so bonkers, isn't it? It's like, even in a world where there's, especially because now we've developed all these global scenes so much. So you have all these players like Nico from Bosnia, who, by the way, never would have been seen in 1.6. He would have sadly been like, fucking, the example is Oscar. Like, we would have only heard of him from a Frag movie and gone, seems pretty good. Shim will never see him on the international stage or he'll lose in the first round. So to be fair, we never would have had a guy like that at 1.6. But when you have us developed a scene, the idea that you can then put the gap between you and everyone else that Simple did in 2018 is ridiculous. Like, the best example ever I said then is, the way I knew that Simple had broken CSGO is because it's not that I thought he was the best, because I thought players in the past were the best who people disagreed with. It's when even all the fans and even HLTV.org, which famously didn't used to give MVPs to people who weren't in the winning team, it's when even though Device won the most MVPs of the year, everyone agreed he's not the best player of the year. And I was like, dude, in 1.6, if you win every tournament of the year and you're the MVP every time, we don't even need the discussion. It's like, you will just get that. Everyone will say, this was your year, you were the best. Like, the idea that Sip Device had it twice, where 2 years he won all the majors almost, like he had tons of MVPs, and at the end of the year, everyone was like, that's cool, Device, but excuse me, we're just going to go and jerk off over fucking Simple and Ziwu or Simple and Nico. That just shows how the game has become mad skill.
In isolation, they're right. Like, if both of you just have a Deagle, I'm going to say Simple or Nico has a higher chance of getting a kill with it. But the problem is, that ignores the context of both players' gun scenario, which, let's be real, in those cases, and almost all cases I can think of, the star player is also better with an AK or an M4 than he is with a Desert Eagle or a CZ. Like, I don't care which star player we're talking about here, Nico, Simple, go through all the ones you'd want to go through. It's almost certainly the case that they are much stronger with the rifle than with that pistol, and therefore, you're more likely to get a kill by having them do that overall. So you give him the AK, regardless of who's stronger with a Deagle, having the star player have an AK is going to give you a better chance of winning this particular round, of getting kills in this scenario. So since he's going to get kills in that scenario, you've got a better chance of winning the round. Also, since he gets kills, those might be guns that can go to someone else. Then you've got the scenario where if the star player even dies after getting kills or without getting kills, well, you can pick up his gun. I mean, you could even give the analogy there of like, Eastern Europeans should understand this, because first of all, the Poles and Na'Vi in 1.6 used to do this. They mastered that style of like a half buy or two AKs or an AK and go to the star player, especially an entry type player, and having him progress the rounds through. Then you could even tie it into the historical reference of like Stalingrad and how the Soviet Union fought in World War II, where they would send guys out without any guns and say, you know what, pick up the guns from the guys that are dead. It's a fucked up example, but it was actually done in history. Now, this is even more so the case in Simple's example, because he is not only an aggro player, with the best aim and perhaps the best skill in CS history, but he opens rounds and is amazing at that. He can close rounds and win tons of clutches. He gets the most kills anyway. There's pretty much no example in which it makes sense for him not to have the gun. A lot of Na'Vi's success on a low-key level in terms of keeping the economy going has come from these hero AK buys, which went to Simple. That's part of why their force buy numbers are so high. Not just from some genius calls and stuff. There's some of that, but it's definitely not. It's skewed a lot by these hero Simple plays. Then add in the current meta, breaking or limiting the CT economy is at a premium. It wins you games and specific maps outright. I'm mainly, by the way, talking about on the terrorist side here. CT side is different depending on what spot you play. The superstar carry player has the best chance to start to limit their economy, to neutralize it entirely. Now, there are outliers, depending on what CT position you play. If your star player is a passive player, maybe you wouldn't give it to Cold Zero in that side. You might give it to Fur instead, whatever form he's in. What about if your star player is someone who needs to have space created for him, needs a setup to be able to go to work, then it might not make sense. What if the map position means he can't swap his spots like he can bizarrely with Simple and Zeus, because Simple's so absurdly talented, and therefore your star player is someone that they can avoid. Actually, this happened to Nico when he played in mouse spots at certain times on cash as a CT. Sometimes it wouldn't always make sense to give him the weapon in that scenario. So in these examples, sure, there are a few outliers you can point to. But generally, yeah, you want that gun in the superstar's hands, in the superstar's carry. And quite frankly, I've never heard a legit reason as to why you wouldn't go ahead and do that. And especially with these truly godlike superstar characters. Then you get to the Star Series tournament, which they were like a round away from winning Star Series Season 4 earlier this year. That was just because Simple was a god. That was nothing to do with Na'Vi. That was nothing to do with Zeus or their map pool or their system. And even Flamie having a few good maps, that wasn't really enough to warrant almost winning a big tournament that had all the top teams in the world in attendance. So let's talk about that for a second, because that was the real turning point, the last moment where it was just Simple carrying this team and elevating what, in terms of other talent and overall level, should have just been a bottom end of the top 10 squad to one of the best in the world, one that could potentially win tournaments, and then later would transition to a legit elite team that it is now, that now is a legit contender for every tournament, and not just because of Simple. Because at Star Series Season 4, I don't want to exaggerate this. I don't want it to seem like this is just hyperbole or I'm pouring superlatives on someone because I like him or I know him a lot. I legitimately think that Star Series Season 4 earlier this year was the best individual performance any player has ever turned in at a tournament in CSGO history. And that is with the context that Simple played something ludicrous like 21 or 22 maps of play at that tournament, where in past big tournaments, the most you would ever play was maybe 12, 15, an absolute stretch. And so he was playing more maps against some elite level competition. He played against the best teams in the world at the tournament. He played against FaZe. He played against Astralis in the round of eight, who at the next tournament went on to be the next dominant team. Played against Mousespots in the final. It was fucking unbelievable stuff. Simple was so good that Na'Vi almost won the final. And a bunch of the series they won, they had no business winning some of those maps. Those were like opponents' map picks, or they were like decider maps, like Train that they weren't very good at the time. They had no business being a team that could have won that tournament, and yet they were like a round away from winning it. They almost 2-0'd the final, with Mirage being that godlike performance of Simple that would have 2-0'd it.
So this was from a thread that was about Nico versus Cold versus Simple in 250k, so in other words, big events, 250k or more prize pool tournaments. And this guy says, 244 points, easier to get a good rating when you're only ever playing group stages and quarterfinals versus tier 2 teams. Right, first of all, this was from 250k or more tournaments. Like, can we just go ahead and throw that out there? It's not like this is when Oscar had godlike stats recently, but you go look at the tournaments he's playing at, like DreamHack Denver, he's playing at DreamHack Winter, he's playing at that Rogue EMEA, like European qualifier. Yeah, the entire tournament there is bombs. Like, there's the odd good team and that's it. The majority of teams are like tier 3, borderline tier 2 in general. That's not what's going on here. These are 250k or more tournaments. So even when he plays bad teams here, it might be the occasional NRG Optic Renegades, but he's still playing a lot against North, Astralis, Cloud9, G2, FaZe, SK, he is still playing the good teams. So the idea that like getting to quarters or semis, because obviously he made semis of Cologne, or just staying in group stage, he's not playing players as bad as this. And in fact, the best way for this 244 points guy to have made his case here would be find another player with stats even vaguely comparable to Simple in these massive tournaments, who's played as many maps or tournaments as Simple, and show us that that guy just played against bombs and got that kind of stat. Now you can't, because Simple's a mad outlier, and you know the reason he's a mad outlier, because he's able to do this on a bad team at those tournaments against a mixed bag, but also some very good teams, and that's why he's this crazy outlier who gets compared to Nico and Simple and Cold, just as Nico himself got compared to Cold last year in similar circumstances. But let's go through this piece by piece. So you mean the work environment where they paid him tons of money, paid all expenses to move him across the world, gave him free room, right? So the idea they paid him tons of money doesn't mean you can give him a bad work environment, or you can lie to him and tell him one thing, especially about his role in the team, and then make him have a different situation. Then the fact that they paid all his expenses to move him across the world and gave him free room and board, right? They had to do that because he comes from Ukraine. He would have rather stayed in Ukraine and been on Team Liquid and just flown out to the events. Couldn't do that though, because you need him to play in EPL and ECS to qualify for the LANs. You need him to be in NA to boot camp with the team. So that's entirely Team Liquid who wanted him in those scenarios. Therefore, yes, they should pay for that. No, that doesn't in any way factor into his work environment having some negatives. Then the way they say is they even kicked a player because Simple was too toxic to play with him. No, they kicked a player, Adren, because Simple did not want to play with him. No. Because Simple made it so that Adren would have quit or be kicked anyway. This is one of the reasons I told Hiko, yes, recruit Simple to the team. Not only is he an amazing player, superstar player, you can do a lot with him, but he will be the error-correcting virus software, as it were, that will get rid of all the little niggling elements of the team that currently don't flare up as much as they should, but with a player like Simple, who's going to be so brutal and so upfront about things, that these are going to come to a head and they will then be resolved or the player will leave.
Even aside from that, the team, most of the players in Team Liquid's starting lineup of CSGO, did not want Simple in their team. Now, here's something which I believe has been said some places around the industry. I can't remember if it was said in an interview by Team Liquid, but before the major, a number of the players in the team wanted to kick Simple out of the team after the major anyway. The fact that they then did exceptionally well, yeah, buoyed everyone up and they got really excited and wow, and they were thinking, oh, this works and he's a different person. Yeah, because the success got to them. They got drunk on the wine of success. But after the event, when they're having problems, especially after what happened at Dream of Malmö, then they're like, nah, let's get rid of this guy again. So actually, the success that happened at the major never would have happened if some of these players had gotten their way and had him kicked beforehand. So, when I say the team was split on Simple, yeah, that's because, and you know, unfortunately, for some reason, people think of split in their mind as being like an even split. No, it was split. There was a guy called Hiko, who the whole reason he's even in Team Liquid and ever left Cloud9, has made all these roster moves in his career, is because he wants to win. He wants to have the best team. Now, he wanted to keep Simple. He wanted to find a way to work with Simple because he recognizes Simple's talent. Everyone else in the team didn't want Simple in the team. Now, the worst part about them not wanting Simple is that they didn't have some really good solution to replacing him or filling in the gaps and the holes of what he provides in the team and the vacuum he would leave if he left. You've got to find ways to get him to buy into your system. Now, what I mean by that is, you might even have to tell him straight up, maybe one-on-one, mate, we understand you're the best player. We understand you're the star player in the team. But when you get angry and when you get upset and you get frustrated for whatever reasons, and when you lash out your teammates like this, unfortunately, it actually kind of like makes your teammates play worse, and therefore you won't win, you're winning less. So, never mind like the fact that it's rude or whatever to lash out. No. The problem is, we want to find a way to make your success more, and we want to find a way to make the people around you successful. We want to find a way to let them help you. That's what we need to buy into, Simple. If you do these things here, you'll help make your teammate better, which will help you become better. They'll facilitate your greatness. You have to learn how to use your teammates. You can't just demand them to be great and demand them to do this. They can't do these things, mate. They're not you. You have to find a way to use them. You have to find a way to get them on board with you, Simple. So we're going to put a system together, mate. And we're going to have you do these things here, and you can do them all. These are all things that can work for you.
But if you do these things here, they're going to buy into your system as well. And they're going to believe in you as a player. And they're going to do things you need. And then we're all going to be really successful. You have to have that sort of a coach who can get to him in that particular way. And then he's going to buy in. And he doesn't have to do all these strict rules. Like I said, we're not going to have different rules for him. But the things that he is going to do, the slight tweaks, are going to make the game better for everyone.
If you think of like the best 3 month span that Faker ever had in his career, maybe it would be like summer 2015, maybe summer 2013, whatever period you think was Faker's peak, right? Imagine he just did that and just kept doing it the whole time. And it wasn't a 3 year span. That was just the first year and then another year. And then he did it for like 5 years. And each year he was getting better each year. That's basically what Simple did.
Yeah. Events come and go. Fame rises and then falls away. You have a job, you lose a job. You do one thing, you have to move on to another. But one of the cool things about my career is I have my own support network who's always got my back. So I always know I can rely on the support to do the work I want to do and talk the way I want to talk and not have to follow certain rules that others arbitrarily have to follow. And that support group is, of course, called the Skrilluminati, my Patreon community. This video and all the others on my channel was kindly supported by Matt Pugnacio-Rakula, Frisky, Ahmed Haju, Tobias Bernasconi, Toucan, Tosh, Jensen Gore, Animosity, and you know it, always my main man Jerky's minion, rock it with me, ride or die. Would you like to suggest a topic or a guest for a future episode of Reflections or a talk show? Do you want teasers? Find out who the upcoming guests are. Maybe you want to ask me a question for my video AMA where I tend to go quite in depth, or perhaps you want to take part in one of those really long donated discussions where we talk about whatever you're into in esports. Well, if any of those perks or any of the others catch your fancy, join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box where down below.